you will be turning the book of Daniel. We're in lesson three as we go through the book of Daniel. It's just as we're still in the introduction stage, if you will. So as we left off at last lesson, we looked at the prophecy program. But there's another program in a body. There's another program in the Bible called prophecy. Last week we kind of looked at the mystery program a little bit as we doing some things. Listen, prophecy fits in times past and ages to come. Times past prior to the crucifixion. Now it's what we refer to what? The dispensation of grace. And then ages to come fits on the other side of the dispensation of grace, of what we call after the catching away, the rapture. In times past, there was a prophecy program, and ages to come, the prophecy resumes again. Now, the dispensation of grace, as you know, now has been interrupted or has interrupted the prophecy program. I was thinking about this the other day. A lot of people don't recognize the interruption of the prophecy program. You know that? They all think there's one gospel. They all think that everything's a continuation. Paul picked up where Peter and them didn't and moved on. But have you ever watched a program on TV and it's a very exciting program, you're watching it and then it says special report and news interruption. You know, and they come on and it stops the program and you're like, this better be good. How dare they messed up my, you know, and you might go and walk off until you come back. But they interrupt that program. Did it stop the program?
No.
That's the dispensation of grace or the prophecy. It's just interrupted. It's going to continue later on if you understand what he's doing. In the prophecy program, there's prophecy about the tribulation period. 70 week of Daniel. There's it's about the second coming of Jesus Christ. The prophecy program. I'm going to close this up just for a little bit. Because this is your Bible timeline with the prophecy program. Okay? That's not with the mystery program. Now, it's about a kingdom. His kingdom. It's about Satan being bound. That's all found in the prophetic program. It's not found in the prophecy program. Now, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was prophesied. You got a question?
Yeah. Does the time past end with the coming of John? Or was John? Or where does that prophecy program in?
Okay, we're going to look at that here a little bit, okay? Yeah, that's a good question. Does it begin with John? Or what? The prophecy program's way back over here, if you think about it. John the Baptist, by the way, was prophesied. Okay? He just didn't show up. You know, didn't he say something like, you think I'm just a weed? No, he was there for a reason, wasn't he? So the crucifixion of the cross of Jesus Christ was prophesied. All of those events back here was prophesied to where it's going to take place. Now, do you think it happened?
All of the events?
Do you think John the Baptist, when he was prophesied, did he show up?
Yes.
You think the Lord Jesus Christ was prophesied, did he show up?
Yes.
So it's true. And Daniel stands back when he's over here and he looks down and he prophesies about events that's going to take place before the dispensation of grace even takes hold of. You understand? He's over here looking way over here. He don't know nothing about the dispensation of grace. It was hidden God. But look, that's time past. He also prophesies about events that's going to take place after the dispensation of grace. And we call that ages to what? To come. Man, if you get this down at threefold division, I know you probably you think I'm beating a dead horse, but no, you need to understand this. Because you'll be able to help somebody else understand this. Because before you understood it, did you understand it? No, you didn't. So, you know, but it was there. And Daniel speaks about, and it's part, it is called a prophecy program. And you must understand that just predicting something, like predicting the rapture, does not make it a part of the prophecy program, prophetic program. There's a mystery program and there's a prophetic program. There are some things, as we looked at a couple lesson notes, Paul prophesied some things within the mystery program that was not taking place in the prophetic program. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of things there. Come with me to Matthew chapter 25. We're in Daniel 1. Go to Matthew chapter 25 and get Acts chapter 3. Matthew 25, Acts chapter 3. What do you know about, where is the book of Matthew in times past but now and ages to come? Where is that set, where is that at? Where would you position the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
Kingdom,
but where is also referred to what?
Times past.
Thank you. They're still under the law. Nothing's changed. And the book of Matthew does deal with a kingdom message. Thank you. But chapter 25 and also Acts chapter 3. Daniel is a part of the prophetic program. And Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Where is that at in the prophecy program? Did that take place yet?
No.
So an agent, when Jesus Christ is talking this and saying this, where is it going to take place at? Ages to come. That's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes back over here and sits on His throne. That has not taken place yet, guys. And He said, verses 32, 34. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And He shall sit the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the what?
World.
Okay, from the foundations of the world, God set up this kingdom. And the kingdom is spoken of has been an issue ever since God founded the world back in Genesis chapter 1. He's talking about a world system. He's talking about a kingdom. And there is something that God has been doing since the foundation of the world. And what He's doing, He's accumulating all this stuff to go into a kingdom. What did I say? Acts chapter 3. What do you know about the first part of the book of Acts? They're still in the kingdom program. They're still under law. They're still trying to do things under the law. And He said, you know what Acts chapter 2 verse 38 says, repent. Okay, that's what 90% of the churches, whether I don't care what kind of denomination you was in the past, they will base their beliefs somehow, some way in that verse. You got your water, you got your church membership, you got everything, the Holy Spirit, you got it all. But God's not doing that today. But He says in Acts chapter 2, Peter's standing up in the day of Pentecost. There's 15 nations of Jews there. They're speaking in every tongue under the earth right there because they've been scattered all over the place. And He's speaking to them. Acts chapter 3, He's dealing with the powers that be, if you will. And He says in verse 19, Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Now, when is He going to send that back? When is the times of refreshing coming? Has it happened yet?
No,
He's in royal exile right now. So let me ask you something. If you believe Acts 2:38 to be your salvation message, and Peter comes along and tells you you need to be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshings will come, when are your sins forgiven? Yeah, when He comes back over here. Now, is that good news?
No.
Don't you want to be your sins blotted out right then and now? I got a verse in my Bible that says I have atonement right now. My sins are forgiven now. That's what I base my, I don't have to wait. But look, God has been preaching that since about something since the world began. And since the world began, God has had a purpose, which to what? To bring what? To bring the kingdom in. Yes, amen. And that's what he's doing. Since the world began, God has been speaking about the purpose of bringing in that kingdom. That prophetic program, that prophecy program centers about a what? A coming kingdom. Listen, I know people, you know people, they want nothing more but a kingdom. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Because you know if there's a kingdom here, guess who's here?
King.
The king. Yeah, Jesus. And you know he's just sitting on the throne. But where is he at today? God is not forming a nation, a priest. He's forming a body of Christ, of saints. And all the prophetic program in times past and ages to come has to do with speaking about prophecy, predicting, foretelling, and has to do with setting up a kingdom. And bringing the earth under the authority of the Most High God through the instrument of that kingdom. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. He made a distinction. So his focus from Genesis 1:1 all the way over to Acts chapter 9, his focus is the earth. And he wanted to bring that subjection under his rule and authority through the nation Israel, and he had had preeminence on earth through Israel. How'd that turn out?
Not too good.
You know, guess what? If you and I was there, we'd probably done the same thing. Chances are. But the kingdom is vested in Israel, guys. And we learn that it's going to have a Messiah. And etc. And there it is. Prophecy is that program that has been preached and talked about and made known since the foundation of the world. Now go back to Romans 16. Romans 16. Get Matthew chapter 3. Get Daniel chapter 2. And get Ezekiel chapter. Now you guys know that. God gave you how many fingers? And how many toes? And how many elbows? Bookmarkers. Hey, they make a wonderful thing called bookmarker. You know that? But anyway, but let's take it one at a time, guys. Romans chapter 16. You know the verse. You should be knowing the verse I'm going to. Verse 25. Very good. Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel. So who's writing this book?
Paul.
Okay. What's he saying about a gospel?
Saying he's got the gospel.
My gospel. Hey, he's owning it up. It's my gospel. He's personal. And, not just my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to what? The revelation of prophecy. Because prophecy was spoken since the world began, therefore we're preaching that, teaching that today, right?
No.
You say no, preacher. Revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since what? No, wait a minute. You got something spoken since the world began, and you got something what?
Kept
secret. Now ask yourself, is that the same thing? That's a little different. Is the spelling different? Is the meaning different? Yeah, it's different. And once you acknowledge that, you're like, wow, I may not understand it, but it's different. It's got to be there for a reason. And God had a purpose that he kept secret since the beginning of the world. In other words, before Genesis 1:1, before he created heaven and earth, God had something in him. Not in his word, not in Abraham, not in Isaac, not in Jacob, not in David, not John, not in the Lord Jesus Christ, but in him. And he had a purpose that it was, he had that, and he did not speak about it, he did not preach about it, predict about it, talk about it through prophecy in times past. I think once we acknowledge that, just that little bit of truth right there, it makes a world difference. Because I know brothers out there today, they're saved, they're going to heaven, praise God, hallelujah, but they're confused in the Bible. And they want to say, this was hidden God. And you heard me say that time and time again, I can't get away from it. Because I get emails all the time about, you know, hey, look at this. You know, they got people, body of Christ starting with Adam and Eve. You know, that type of thing. And you got to look at them like, That's era. Because this mystery program is in now. It has to do with the mystery now. And you can have prophetic events, that's what I got talking about. You can have predictive events happen in the mystery program. What did we talk about last week? You know we can foretell, I can tell your future right now. I can tell if you're going to heaven or hell. Amen. By one question. What you trust in to get to heaven. And you can predict somebody's future. That's prophecy. But you don't go around and brag about it. You're using the word of God. God spoke it, didn't he? You know, so don't go around calling Prophet Tom. You know, Prophet Dan. You just speak the word of God. And you have those events. But you must consistently remember there's a difference between the prophetic program and the mystery program. Daniel is a part of what type of program, guys? And I forgot to lift up, this is the mystery program. Prophetic program. Go with me to chapter 3 and get Daniel chapter 2. Matthew chapter 3. And while you are, get 2 Peter. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now, John had been prophesied. Okay? Now, what do you know between Malachi and Matthew? How many years do you know that's 400 years of silence. God did not speak like he spoke in these books. So all of a sudden, here comes John the Baptist on the scene. At the right time, mind you. You know what I mean? God does it on his timeline. And it's coming down the track. What a little jingle. Peanut Man sitting on the track. His heart was full of flutter. Around bend, number 10, toot toot, peanut butter. That train on that prophetic track is rolling from Genesis chapter 1. And it has not stopped. So you either get on the train or you off the train. You better not be on the track. It's going to run over you. It's going to make peanut butter out of you. So it's coming down the track and there's people trying to stop this and don't understand what's going on. And they get fluttered. And end up like peanut butter. But anyway, you keep moving. But look, define, he says, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To find out what kingdom of heaven John is talking about, you have to look where? In Paul's epistles. Something that was kept secret before the world began. No, where do you have to look? Not only Isaiah, but what book are we in? Daniel, chapter 2, verse 44. It says, in those days of these kings, in the days of these kings, tribulation, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. There it is, a kingdom. So that's Daniel back over there prophesying about a kingdom over here. And John the Baptist is sitting there saying, hey, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, was it offered? You're shaking your head, no. It was not offered, guys. It's at hand. The coffee is at hand. It's not offered till you go back there and pour a cup. You with me? And it don't get offered to Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's when the nation Israel has a time to receive that kingdom. That's when, repent ye therefore and be converted. They're telling that nation Israel, get on track. The train's here. And what you have in Matthew 3 and 4, the gospel of the kingdom is preached in connection with Daniel's prophecy. And Daniel is a part of that prophetic program which accumulates over here in ages to come. Daniel is a part of what program in the Bible? Prophetic, thank you. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. What do you know about 2 Peter? What do you know about the books after the catching away? What do you know about the books, Hebrews through Revelation? They're ages to come. And they're, who's going to be dealing with some things in ages to come? Is the body of Christ? You better believe it's not you and I. Because whether you, if you're saved, praise God, hallelujah, right? Now, if you don't believe in catching away, that's very, very important of our doctrine. But guess what? You're going whether you believe it or not.
That's right.
You know, back in my younger days, in my religious days, I was like, oh, well, if I don't make this trip, I got a second chance over here. You ever thought about that? Well, if I don't believe now, I'm going to go through the tribulation and he's going to make a believer out of me. But think about this for a second. Where did I say to go? 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. In verses 17 and 18, Peter tells that he went up on a mount of transfiguration and saw what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Right? He was an eyewitness to that. But in verse 19, what does it say? We have also a more, what's that next word? Sure word of prophecy. That should be like, ding, 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 ding. What in the world are you talking about? He was just up there looking what the Lord Jesus Christ could do, and he's saying, we got a more sure word of what? You got to think about this for a minute, because in other words, the scripture is what?
More sure.
More sure and reliable than the eyewitness of that experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. Because I think Peter kind of knew something about the Word of God. He kind of knew something about the prophecy program. He also knew something a little bit about the mystery program that Paul expounded on him. So he knew what's going on. Just beware of miraculously demonstrations that you can see them, but it doesn't make it right. Now, I'm going to say this with love. Many of us has got one-eyed monsters in our house. And we turn that thing on, and we start believing everything that's coming on that screen. And we start believing that there's, man, it's a times, latter days, things are lining up. Things are lining up. Now, would you miraculously see the things that's happening? Or are you going to believe the Word of God? I believe Peter believed the Word of God. So you and I should believe the Word of God and not believe that, I hate to use this term, it's been beaten to death, fake news, or whatever you want to talk about. You know, there's some fake doctrine going on out there. You don't have to turn the news channel on. You can turn, we just got Dish Network for the first time in about 2 years. There's that many channels, religious channels on there. That many. My TV's only that big, but anyway, that many. You know, and you're looking at like fake, 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 fake. And you keep moving. But look, you got to beware of those things. It doesn't make them right. Peter says, he says, we saw. We were eyewitness of His glory and His majesty, but we have something better than that. We have the Word of God. See, God left us His Word, people. And for English-speaking people, it's the King James Bible. Amen. Now, for the non-speaking people, it could be the Spanish King James Bible. Now, just a second. You know? You have the Word of God, and you better believe it. It's the Word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, he says, that ye take heed, as unto the light that shineth in the dark. He's saying this Word is more sure than what I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. That takes a lot, don't it? I can stand on some verses right now. The Bible says if an angel from heaven come and preach any other gospel, let him be a curse. Now, if the angel from heaven came down right now and came through that wall and started preaching an everlasting gospel, many of us are probably shaking right now, wouldn't we? I'm shaking now just even think about it. But my Bible says, don't, let it be a curse. Now, listen, it takes more to stand on faith in the Word of God than it ever does me standing up against any man or you. Daniel is a light that shines the light of understanding on that dark day. It's going to be dark over our guys. It's dark now with the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't He say, well, I'm in the world and I've got light? When He's gone, there's darkness. The evil world out there. You deal with people every day. There ain't no light in some of these people we're dealing with. They say there's light, but you're looking at it. It's dark. You're supposed to be a light. And the book of Daniel deals with the things that were going to happen in that times of the who? Gentiles. And this is going to bring us around a little bit. Hey, this is introduction. You're going to be tested on that one day. But look, the book of Daniel traces that Gentile dominion from Daniel's time all the way over to the second coming of Jesus Christ. So you know what? I'm going to open up the timeline. Daniel did not see the mystery program, but guess what time we're in? Has the time of the Gentiles been postponed? No. So the times of the Gentiles just keep going all the way through here, and it don't end to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And they establish that kingdom. Daniel describes the prophetic setup, the political setup of the Gentiles nation described during ages to come. Over here, ages to come. So he's over here for setting up what's going to happen to those Gentile kings and stuff over there. With me? And especially during times past. And Daniel's, the order and events are very, very important, guys. He lays out the order and the kingdom. There's a great prophetic foreview of times that the Gentiles, and especially their great leaders, the Antichrist in ages to come. That's what's leading up to. Daniel's telling the nation of Israel. And the prophetic view of the Gentiles' course of the events of the time of Daniel and the second coming. And the Antichrist. And how to identify him. And where is he coming from, etc. And upon Israel's final restoration. Israel has not been restored yet. And listen, he's going to tell you how to identify that Antichrist. I know they said it was Ronald Wilson Reagan because he had 666. I know they said it was Bill Clinton. I know they said it was President Obama. I know they said it was William T. Sherman, Tecumseh Sherman. You know, in any great war, these leaders coming down there and they're destroying everything, there's the Antichrist. Listen, some of your spouses look at you and call you the Antichrist in some situations. You know what I mean? So you need to know how to identify them. I know in our heart, in our mind, sometimes we're looking at things and saying, hey, it's coming down, it's lining up, it's lining up. But you've got to believe the Word of God. You have a sure Word. And it identifies the faithful remnant that stays true to God all through that period of time. Now I'm going to continue a little bit because I only got to talk with you for about 28 minutes. And I'm not going to see you next week. But I still get you out of here. The book of Daniel is a very important book, guys. When you begin to study prophecy. And the book of Daniel focus is on that time period that we call the tribulation or times of Jacob trouble and the millennium. That's where his focus is at. Not in but now. And in Daniel chapter 2, we ain't got through Daniel chapter 1 yet, so we're still laying out some things. So when we get through that, then you'll understand some things. What's it say? Chapter 2, verse 28. Daniel chapter 2, verse 28. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known. Now Daniel is interpreting the dream in Daniel chapter 2 to King Nebuchadnezzar. What shall be in the latter days? And Daniel chapter 7, when we get there, we don't have to turn there, but Daniel chapter 7, we turn to Daniel chapter 8, well, I'll tell you about Daniel chapter 7, deals specifically with details and the order of events that leads up to the rise of the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 7 does. Not Daniel chapter 2. Not Daniel chapter 8. It leads up to dealing with the Antichrist. Not Romans chapter 7. Not Romans, not Paul's epistles. But he does tell you in Thessalonians, have not I told you these things? That there got to be a falling away first, then a man of sin revealed. Paul even told the Thessalonians, which some, either Thessalonians or Galatians are the first two books Paul wrote. Now, so I'm not, you know, I'm not going to argue with either. What does Galatians talk about? They're being put up back under law. And he's saying, no. Thessalonians was being lied to and said, hey, the rapture's already taken place. The resurrection already happened. You're still here. And Paul had to go in there and say, no. Have not I told you these things? You ain't called out here yet. The tribulation hasn't started. You with me? So Daniel chapter 8 gives the details necessary to identify who the Antichrist is. Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8, verse 19. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. You know what indignation is?
Tribulation.
Yeah, there you go. It's nothing good, right?
No.
Okay, so at the end of what? Okay, indignation. For at that time appointed the end shall be. Verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance, and understanding dark sentence shall stand up. You know who that is? There you go, the Antichrist. And the point is that this is the latter days, the latter times, and the last days. That has not taken place yet. And chapter 10, verse 14. And we're going to go all through this, okay? We got between now and the catching away, so. Chapter 10, verse 14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. Who's thy people?
Nation Israel.
It's not the body of Christ. For yet the vision is for many days. Over and over in Bible prophecy, there's a period of time. This period of time is described as latter days. And latter time, and last days. And this is what the book of Daniel is all about. It's prophecy. Hey, you know Peter talked about in latter days? And Paul talks about in latter days? You ever compared the two? It's not the same time period. Paul talks about the latter days in the dispensation of grace. Peter talks about the latter days in times, ages come. And what's going on now? Same with Daniel. It follows the course of the Gentile world dominion from times past through the one great last ruler of the times of the Gentiles. That's what it's about. That's what he's describing to King Nebuchadnezzar. Yes?
Why did it say that it would be revealed to Nebuchadnezzar things in the latter days? I mean, I don't link that together.
Well, as we go through that, maybe the answer will be, but the thing is, he describes, hey, you're the head of gold. And then he describes all these other kingdoms, what's going to fall. But he starts the kingdom.
Yeah. that is talking about latter days to me would be over here.
Yeah, when it comes over there, fruition, at the end, it's going to reveal the Antichrist, the one that King Babylon and all that stuff.
Yeah. But I didn't understand why King Nebuchadnezzar would need to know that.
Hopefully we'll have that answer.
Okay.
And then the book of Daniel covers from the Daniel to the end. The book of Revelation, I mean, likes Revelations, is the New Testament what Daniel is to the Old Testament. You with me? Daniel describes what the Old Testament looked for. Revelation describes what the New Testament. Now, I don't like to use that New Testament. I use it because that's how people identify the Bible. And if you're a Bible believer, you know the Old Testament was still going on, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because until a death of a testator, there is no testament. Now, how many has a last will and testament written? Okay, many of you got your hands up. A lot of us are stupid right now. I'm still living my will and testament. You know? But the thing is, why do you do that? Because, let me ask you this. If you carried out and gave it to your lawyer right now and said, hey, what would he do? And you're still living.
Put him in a file.
Yeah, file. Because is it any good?
No. Not until you die.
Not until you die. So Lord Jesus Christ does not die until the last book of Matthew. He does not die until the last book of Luke, Mark. And the last two chapters of John identifies the death. So he's still living. So there is no testament. And let me ask you this. Where do you find about the New Testament?
Jeremiah
31. You find it in the Old Testament about a New Testament. And they're like, whoa. You know, try that on some Bible study sometimes. They'll poo-poo. But look, what Daniel and Revelation give you is a detailed schedule and structure and order of events in the last days. And God has given you and I, as participants in the mystery program, some understanding about that prophetic program. Listen, you can't understand the prophetic program without understanding the mystery program. And you can't understand the prophecy program without understanding the mystery program. You with me? They work hand in hand. And now you have a completed Word of God, you can say, wow, I can understand this. I don't need the writing on the wall. I don't need to have a dream. It's in a book. It's written in a book. And God has given that to us. And you and I will understand the prophetic program. And if you don't, and you can't understand that prophetic program unless you understand the mystery program. Man, that's made more sense to me than, anything. I was going to say the barrel monkeys. You ever do that barrel monkeys thing? You work good for a while. And then, But listen. It makes sense. And you can fully and completely understand the mystery program unless you understand that. That's why his goals are there. There's a great deal of material study in the book of Daniel, as you've seen already. And the books itself looks into the times of the Gentiles. I want you to remember that. And the book of prophecy. And prophecy is basically history written in advance. We looked at who Daniel was. And in chapter 2 and verse 28 of Daniel, Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. And thy dream and visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And he starts to explain. And Daniel declares to him what is going to come hereafter. So, did not Nebuchadnezzar ask somebody to do this? Didn't he have the dream and it bothered him? And he summons all his people and said, hey, you tell us the dream. No. You, if you say who you are, you're going to tell me who. And they're like, our life depends on this, guys. And who they call? Daniel. I'll leave it there right now. Daniel declares to him what's going to happen. And you see in verse 29, Daniel 2:29, what shall come to pass hereafter. It's prophecy is something that looks into the future and writes the history of the future before it happens. And that's what prophecy is about, guys. And that's why men hate prophecy. When you show them in a book where they're going to end up, you know, we're dealing with some things, family members, whatever, and you end up say, listen, this is what God says is going to happen. Now, you may enjoy it for a season, but it's going to kill you. And I don't want you to die that second death. Because every man's appointed to die once, and then the judgment. And you don't want to die that second death. And men do not like the capacity that God has, that God's Word has, to look into the future and tell them what is going to happen. I hated it, and I guarantee you, you hated it. Until you started believing who you was and what God has done for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And now you should accept it. You may not, like I said, you may not understand it. And when you come to understand the prophetic program and the mystery program, one thing that's always benefited me about this mystery program, I know what it's not. When people come to you and say, hey, but this is happening and this is going on, I know what it's not. And I can place it here and here. So I hope as we continue the book of Daniel, we'll start then just at ease with our mind and stuff. Say, oh, wow, this is exciting times we live in. And it is, isn't it? To see things happening going around you, you know, and whether it's good or bad, it's going to happen. You know, the song we sung, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, that's the focus. He's in us and we're in Him. But sometimes our mind just don't let that in, does it? You know, I can do it. I know I can do it. And you're like beating yourself up. And He's like, here I am. Lord, thank you for the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.